540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It is hot, like really hot. CBS's Natalie Brand on what's causing the sweltering temps.
Experts say the climate crisis, combined with an El Nino weather pattern warming the Pacific, is pushing new world records.
We're going to continue to break records as climate change continues until that point where emissions and greenhouse gases are no longer accumulating in the atmosphere.
It's too hot, especially for kids. They get hot, they get, you know, they start getting aggravated. They just want to cool down in some sort of fashion.
Jobs are also hot right now. Here's business reporter Jason Brooks.
Private payroll tracker ADP reported a gain of 497,000 jobs last month, more than doubling expectations. Leisure and hospitality added 232,000 jobs, and there were strong gains in construction, trade and transportation, and education, while tech, finance, and manufacturing saw declines. The Federal Reserve will be concerned about the strong job growth, and that's raising the odds of two more rate hikes from the Fed in 2023.
The first Alzheimer's drug that slows the progression of the disease has now been approved by the FDA. Chief medical correspondent Dr. John Lapook talked about the potential game changer with Dr. Sam Gandy from the Mount Sinai Alzheimer's Disease Research Center.
Does this drug actually delay the decline in cognitive function?
It slows the decline by about 27%.
And what does that translate to in months?
About 6 months.
That benefit was seen over 18 months in a clinical trial of patients with early Alzheimer's.
I think within a six-month period, lots of important things happen within families, births, deaths, weddings.
Lecanemab is given intravenously, costs more than $26,000 a year, and will be covered by Medicare.
The leader of the failed rebellion against Russia's top military brass is still MIA. Russia expert Beth Noble.
Russian security forces raided Prigozhin's home in St. Petersburg, finding loads of cash, weapons, and a set of disguises Prigozhin reportedly used to travel around undetected. Russian media has ramped up its criticism of Prigozhin in recent days, suggesting that Russian President Vladimir Putin has not forgiven his former ally.
Snakes are kind of like humans, at least in times of stress. According to a new study in the journal Frontiers in Ethology, in threatening situations, snakes relied on other snakes to remain calm. They found they had reduced heart rates when in the presence of another slithery companion compared with those that endured the stress alone. It's the first time this phenomenon has been recorded in reptiles. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/...
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes! That's awesome!
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Albright Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know
would
that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
But we also proved that not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should Tony Evers sign this budget? Should he just veto line item veto? Should he veto the whole thing? Should he sign it? What, if from what you know, and we're going to recap the whole thing as far as what's in, what's out, but as Republicans passed their bill out of the Joint Finance Committee, it now goes to the legislature, and they will be set to vote on it this week. And so from there, it goes to Tony Evers' desk, and he has the option to sign it, to veto some parts of it, or veto the whole thing, which he has threatened to do based on some of the pieces that are in their plan right now. So I would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Should Tony Evers sign this budget? 844-96-PARTY. And big announcement today.
Very big announcement.
Very big announcement. It's Monday, and that is the voice of Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Why am I here?
Well, Jane is still out.
That's right.
But you're here.
Why?
Because you actually work here now.
Oh, my good gravy.
So we're going to talk more about that at the end of the hour.
Yes, we will.
Because I want to talk about the topic.
Yes,
but just
course.
For everyone who is potentially surprised.
Confused.
Happy.
Elated.
That Greg Bach is indeed on the board today. So we're going to have some fun with him. But Greg Bach, should Tony Evers sign this budget? Or should I go through more of it?
I think, well, in my heart of hearts, I'm like, no.
Just, really?
Yeah, just Oplander, throw that pen, stamp it, veto, stand up, cross your arms, and say, what?
And then just wait till October for a new, we just keep rolling with the budget that we've had and try again in October.
And then he pulls out an ice cream cone, just starts licking, going, what are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Well, they're Joe McClear and Tony Zimmerman are both very excited that you're here. Greg, wait, did I sleep through the Monday and Tuesday? And Tony says, Greg.
Oh, you guys are so special and sweet.
All right. So this is just a reminder, as this slog has been happening and there's been headlines each day of things that are happening, things that are in, things that are out. But the big one that came from last week was the $3.5 billion income tax. And so we talked about that on Friday as far as both how much in dollars is it being $3.5 billion, so it's half of our surplus. But Democrats criticized the plan for benefiting the wealthy, while most Republicans argued simplifying tax brackets would make the state more competitive and keep employers in the state. So just as a reminder, as far as if you make $1 million, You'll save like $30,000 on taxes. If you make between $60,000 to $70,000, your taxes would go down by about $249. And if you're making between $25,000 and $30,000, you'd see about a $15 reduction. So certainly not a huge tax break ultimately for people making like less than $100,000, which is most people in Wisconsin. But we talked to CJ Safer on Friday as far as arguing why appealing to higher income, they from the Republicans' point of view, appealing to higher income citizens and potential citizens is good for the economy. Whether or not you believe that, who am I to say?
It seems pleasant enough.
Next thing is all K through 12 schools are getting funding increases. So Wisconsin schools under this bill would receive about $1 billion in additional revenue through a mix of new funding and property tax increases as a part of the lawmakers' budget action, and a separate agreement between Evers and GOP lawmakers on local government spending. So of the new spending, it's about $778 million, and then allowing school districts to raise the rest through property taxes. The special part of this is also the percentage of special education costs would go from 30% under the current law to 33%. I still don't think that's probably enough for how much special education costs, but it is somewhat of an increase. The next big bucket, and this is our first, the tax cut for the highest income earners could be a deal breaker for Evers, but the one that definitely I think is going to end up in a showdown is the $32 million cut from the UW system. And so Republicans voted last week to cut funding to the University of Wisconsin system by $32 million, which is equivalent to about 200 positions, in an effort to eliminate diversity offices and programming on all of the campuses. And the $32 million is roughly equal to what the UW system spends on offices and employees focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which, as a reminder, is more than just race. It is race, but it is first-time college, like first-generation college students. It's veterans. It's people with disabilities. It is basically any kind of non-traditional student that these programs service. It's not just about race. I'll say that. But Evers has said, because this is, I think, the original ask from both the UW system of saying what they needed and what was in Evers' proposal was like closer to $400 million. So to be cut by $32 million, Evers has said that he will veto any spending plan if they move ahead with the cuts. So this could be the dagger.
Well, it also seems like a punishment, too. It just, like, always is like, we'll give you this. And it's always, with the Republicans' budget, should always be like, but then what? You know what I mean? We'll give you this, but school choice. We'll give you this, but we get to slash the UW system.
Yeah, well, some of the compromises, like the school choice shared revenue stuff, I think is, obviously, if you are not a fan of school choice, not a great deal. But some of the compromises, see back and forth, this just feels petty.
Yeah.
Because it also doesn't feel constructive at all. Because even Jay Rothman, who's like comes from the private sector, who is arguing pragmatically about why DEI offices exist and what they do to recruit new students and new types of students, because we need like the argument of we should want a thriving UW system and yeah. We should want more people entering higher education to become nurses and teachers and the different professions that we need and wanting these people to stay in Wisconsin. And like all of these bigger picture things versus just, well, they're indoctrinating 18-year-olds. So we got to make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, it sounds like they're making a budget on conspiracy theories. That's the weirdest thing, too. It's like you want your kids to be real Americans. We're going to make sure they don't hear any sort of message whatsoever.
Well, and it's like to cut the $32 million and then give no other funding for all the other programs of the UW system, including the engineering building that at Madison that need to catch up with inflation and to stay competitive just feels not good.
No, not at all.
Not good.
Nope.
All right, moving on of what else is in the Republicans' budget. wage increases for state workers. So there's going to be pay. There would be pay raises for state workers and UW system employees, which will increase 4% this July and another 2% next July. There's some changes in transit funding. So Republicans approved a 2% increase for transit funding in the next state budget. But the increase came paired with a proposal to move funding from buses and other mass transit systems from the state's transportation fund to the general purpose fund, the state's largest pool of funding used for a wide variety of things.
Yes.
And so potentially that move could put transit in competition with a bunch of other priorities and could be not good for transit, and some would argue.
Guess who hates mass transit more than anyone else in Madison? His name rhymes with Schmobin Poss.
But I just don't understand why people hate the argument for hating mass transit, which is probably a different topic for a different show as we're running through this. But yeah. I get why people love their cars, but I don't know why they hate mass transit so much. But anyways, all right. As we're running through, we're talking about what's in, what's out from the budget. I'll run through the rest of this, and then we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Should Tony Evers sign this? Or should he, have his line veto for? What should he veto in general? But keep going through the list. Pay increases for prosecutors and public defenders. The state budget plan will increase the starting wage for district attorneys and public defenders in the upcoming state budget by $8.76. So the minimum pay rate will be $36 an hour. And then it will also increase for private attorneys who work as public defenders. They'll go from $75 to $100. $70 an hour to $100 an hour. And then, of course, they've also included barring Medicaid from covering health care for transgender Wisconsinites, which unclear whether or not that provision will withstand legal scrutiny, especially as we hear more and more judges knocking these down, whether it's in Arkansas or Tennessee, I think are the two cases most recently that have knocked down any kind of legal ban from gender-affirming care. But then just a reminder quickly of what's not in it. At the beginning of the budget process, Republicans on the committee voted for a motion to remove more than 500 items from Evers' proposed budget. So there is no Medicaid expansion, no marijuana legalization, no paid family leave, no child care counts, no cost school lunches and breakfasts, no more funding for high-speed internet throughout the state, no mental health programs in schools, no additional state funding for the Office of School Safety, which is going to run out of federal funds that have effectively kept it running. And also, they are not expanding Medicaid coverage for new mothers from the 2 months they get currently to a full year. So they still only get 2 months. So would love to hear from you. Should Tony Evers sign this budget? Or are you willing to bite the bullet and have him veto it and we just keep running on the budget that we've been working through until October, where we can try this all again? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Would love to hear from you. Greg will take your calls now. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a 3-hour block
of Wisconsin Produced Radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripescast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with a low of 54. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 77. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Overcast. Mid-70s Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Low 80s Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
This summer,
540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are taking your calls and your opinions on the Oplander budget.
We're going to make this a thing, yes.
We are going to make it. I think it's starting to catch on. I made an explainer video on TikTok last night just explaining the 400-year extension of the education per pupil raises, and I got more traction of people being like, Oplander, that's pretty funny.
Oh,
you know, it's like
good.
it's like a Dark Brandon knockoff kind of.
Yeah.
But
Wisconsin style.
Wisconsin style, yeah. 844-967-2789. What do you think of the final budget and Governor Evers' line item vetoes?
Dave from McWan is joining us. Good morning, Dave. What do you think?
Good morning. You know what? I think, I understand that people want an increase in school budgeting and what have you, but to sign off on it for the next 402 years, that's going back to like when the Pilgrims were first landing here in the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just silly. At the end of the day, I think there should also be, to be honest with you, granted, you know, obviously I consider education very important. However, you know, there doesn't seem to be any accountability for the public schools that are failing a tremendous amount of kids that are not proficient in math, not proficient in reading. And it's been going on for years. And if they complain that, oh, if we don't have enough money, it's like that it seems like that is, since I've been alive in Wisconsin, that's always been the case. It's never changed. And at the end of the day, the kids are the ones who are losing if that money, and I don't have a problem with increasing it, but you have to get better results. I mean, when you have, you know, a majority of students, they're not proficient in reading and writing and what have you, that's a lose-lose-lose.
I hear you, Dave. Know, but I think who are we supposed to believe as to what's going to improve the schools? Because to a certain extent, it's hard for me to, when I look at the background of most of our lawmakers, most of them are not teachers, right? Most of them have not worked in the education system in the same way a lot of them are not doctors. And so I want to believe the people who work in education know what they need. And maybe you're going to say that that's wrong, but it's like, ultimately, this is not just a Wisconsin thing. Across the nation, we've seen the numbers. Schools are where our kids are far behind from where they've been 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So there's a bigger thing happening here. And I don't know if money is the answer, but who should we believe to start trying to implement better solutions?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. And I've had this argument with Earl. So the United States spends more on healthcare than any country in the world,
yeah.
right? By far. hands down, we spend more money than practically the next 10 countries combined on healthcare as it is, you know, between Medicaid, Medicare, private insurance, what have you. And our results are abysmal.
Yeah.
The United States is not doing very well. So we know on a health level that if you spend an infinite amount of money, that doesn't mean you're going to get great results. And that's what we should be demanding, because if you are in this case, like I said, so if the United States wants to change the outlook, we have to start holding some people accountable. I don't care if it's in the healthcare field, schooling, what have you, there needs to be a change. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a lot of people that have the stomach to call out the people or whoever is running these departments, because sure, politicians, we hold politicians, with voting and what have you, but the people that are in these other positions where they're not able to be voted in, they're actually just, they just get the job and they're in there for the next 20, 30 years automatically. People don't know who they are and mm-hmm. what they're doing. And so that's a huge thing that I think people have to understand going forward.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Dave. And that's a good point, I would say, as far as we do spend a lot of money on healthcare. And I don't know if it's apples to apples, because there's a lot more private interests when it comes to the healthcare debacle that we have than there, I think, that there is in education. But it's a good point that more money doesn't always get better outcomes. Got time for another call?
We do. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, what do you want to say?
Well, first of all, I speak from a perspective of somebody that is retired from teaching. I taught for over 40 years in a variety of different schools, from university level all the way down to sixth grade, and in public, private, and parochial schools. And first thing I want to say is, talk about no accountability. There is no accountability. The man is right. However, he chose the wrong set of schools. There's accountability via tests. There's accountability via the local school boards, many of whom are extremely conservative in the public schools. But there is no accountability in private schools. The money is just thrown at the private schools, and it increased, by the way, quite a mm-hmm. bit more than the public schools were increased in this last budget. What needs to happen in terms of the public schools, money has been siphoned from the public schools into private schools for at least the last 13 years. The arrogance of our Republican legislators, who just keep throwing more and more money at this, at public or private school welfare, I call it, where there is no accountability, and they have no accountability because they're so gerrymandered in place. They think, oh, nothing can happen to us. We'll be here next year, and we're going to throw the same thing at the government. So I'm getting a little bit tired of this discussion.
There's absolutely.
Saying, throwing money at the problem won't help it, but I'm going to tell you, if you take money away from systems that are hiring people and need to hire the best people, you are not going to get good results. And that's what's been happening with our public schools.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jack. We got to go to a break. But I do agree. We're in a teacher shortage. We need to attract teachers. And that takes money. All right. We're going to keep talking about the budget on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Record-setting heat this week all over the world. CBS's Tina Krause.
Millions of Americans trying to beat the heat aren't alone. China has seen 10 days of temperatures above 95 degrees, the longest streak since 1961.
A new Alzheimer's drug has gotten the green light by the FDA. Our Alexander Tin reports.
The FDA now says that Alzheimer's drug Leqembi, which was granted so-called accelerated approval earlier this year, has now been converted to a traditional approval.
The decision clears the way for Medicare and other insurers to begin paying for the drug. It'll have a warning, though, about potentially serious side effects, including brain swelling and bleeding. Job growth soared in June.
The number of job openings fell by 500,000 in May to 9.8 million from 10.3 million in April. Overall, job openings are down 14% from a year ago.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station, the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in. Turn on and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach.
Loving that song.
I know.
Holy cow.
There's a hot theme this hour. Yeah.
And welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. On what day is it? After I guess a long weekend for a lot of people. Some people worked. I know Todd Alba did a live show on Monday. Yeah. It's for us, but kind of a hodgepodge of who was working, who wasn't yesterday. But I think most people are back to work today. After hopefully not blowing off their fingers. quick, before we get into some headlines, how's this for a headline? Americans expected to spend $100 million more this year on fireworks.
Wow.
Isn't that insane? So sales of consumer fireworks are set to grow by $100 million this year, a 4% increase from last year. Sales of fireworks used for professional shows fell 75% in 2020. Not surprising. But over the same time period, demand exploded pardon the pun.
Crap.
For snaps, sparklers, and novelty devices, driving up sales 90% over 2019. And so that is a lot of money on fireworks. And I guess like professional fireworks are very expensive, but I think you have to imagine like where we were. Yeah, we went to Madison yesterday.
Yeah.
That the amount of people who just are firing them off in their backyards after like the show, yeah, quote unquote. What is our obsession with fireworks?
Well, so do those numbers include the professionals like along the lakefront where they're spending like $500,000 on, like, they're not spending money. They're making their own fireworks, I'm sure. And that's all creation. Like, that's what I'd be interested to know. But as far as like the general idea of fireworks, I don't get it. I don't really like them that much. A good fireworks display on the 4th of July, if I'm far away, that's cool. But man, like the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and yesterday, it has been like
at one point,
I actually asked Bridget, I'm like, is that a firework or is that gunshots? Because they were just like really steady and like fast. They weren't like, you know, like making noises. It was just like pop, pop, pop. I'm like, what is going on? And I hated it.
And I think of all the people with dogs.
Yep.
And I also think about the drought conditions that we're in. And we're blowing things off that set things on fire.
And that was the thing.
This is a bad idea. And I'm going to say something very unpopular. We should replace fireworks shows with drone shows.
With drone shows?
Yes.
Ooh, those are fun.
They can do amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Shapes.
They do amazing things with drones.
Jane, real quick question. Why do you hate America?
I know. Because I'm a bad person.
Do you know? So
I'm trash, Greg, apparently.
So it's interesting. So really quick, the forest, the bear, Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
got
all
it.
Know his,
we got there.
His famous line, only you can prevent what?
Forest fires.
Wrong. He doesn't say that anymore. Only you can prevent wildfires. And to me, that just that little change of the word says so much. Because it's not just like, oh, you didn't cover up your campfire.
Yeah.
Oh no, you didn't do this. No, it's like, hey, stop with the gender reveal parties and the fireworks on the 3rd of July because you are burning down forests.
And that's interesting because driving in, you know, I mean, I know there's a drought everywhere and we haven't actually, luckily, I think we're supposed to get some rain
later today and
tonight. And it looks like there's like rain spattering throughout the week. But I driving into Madison yesterday, I was like, oh man, it is brown here. Madison is.
Yep.
Very dry right now, and I had that same thought as we were like, so like we were like, because the where we were watching it was one of the golf courses. I was like, how dry is this golf course right now? Like, is this gonna be a problem?
Seems like a bad idea.
I've not heard many reports yet of anything going terribly awry yesterday, but the day is still early, and I have not necessarily read all of the local reports. I did hear about the poor people up in. Is it Crivet? No, it was Crandon.
Crivet.
That a Wisconsin roller coaster malfunctions.
I saw
with
that.
Riders upside down for hours.
For like 4 hours, they were dangling upside down.
I saw, and I'll show you the video. We'll post this too. I saw a video of a roller coaster with a guy who went to, like, I think it was in Ohio. He goes, hey, your roller coaster is broken. And that, like a big piece of structure cracked. And every time the roller coaster went past it, it just like pushed it more. And he had to go to the authorities and be like, hey, this is broken. Shut it down.
Stop putting people on this.
Oh my God. Never again.
Yeah.
Bike rides and roller coasters. I'm done.
Done. Not today. Maybe not ever again. Mm-mm. See, whenever I see those stories now, I'm getting to the age where I'm like, not worth it.
And that's just exactly it. How I look at things and think, how badly can this hurt me?
Yeah, I've jumped on a plane twice, and I don't want to go to a roller coaster.
Me too.
Yeah.
I did three.
Yeah!
Three!
Yeah.
We should skydive, the three of us.
No.
Okay, all right. Wow. Okay.
How badly can this hurt me?
Jane's
I think pretty
like,
badly.
I have done this.
Yeah.
I don't need to do it again. All right.
Any other news?
We got more news, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go. Let's get to the what I'm classifying as the good, the bad, and the goat. The good, I don't know how far it will go. But as news dropped last Thursday of the ending of affirmative action, one of the questions we raised on this show, one of the questions a lot of people raised is, all right, well, what about legacy admissions? Which you know, some schools consider it, some schools don't. Harvard absolutely does. UNC absolutely does.
Most of these Ivy Leaguers, right?
And some, like Johns Hopkins doesn't. I don't know if Marquette does. University of Wisconsin.
I think so.
University of Wisconsin, Madison says they don't. Granted, I think just the nature of you being a UW-Madison grad and the likelihood that your child will be academically successful and that leads them to go, you know, like, right. So, but I don't think it's not a consideration that they list as criteria that they look at. But so when Howard Schwaber was on, Professor Howard Schwaber was on Friday, I asked, I was like, is there anything to be done about legacy admissions? And I think he kind of said, well, it's a different situation. It doesn't fall under what this case would be. But now, activist group challenges Harvard's legacy admissions. Lawyers for Civil Rights filed a complaint with the Department of Education on behalf of Black and Latino advocacy groups in New England. And I don't know, maybe we're now going to have another legal expert on. We can ask Jim Santel.
Perfect.
Or Maggie Dawn of what is the standing for this. But less than a week after the Supreme Court blocked colleges from considering race in the admissions process, a legal advocacy group fired back like a rival's neighbor firework display.
What are we doing?
In a complaint filed with the Department of Education, lawyers for Civil Rights alleges that Harvard's legacy admissions process, by which students or alums of donors are given preferential consideration, violates federal civil rights law by favoring white applicants over applicants of color. The following stats were revealed in documents pertaining to the Supreme Court case. 70% of Harvard's donor-related and legacy applicants are white. The acceptance rate for legacy applicants to Harvard was 34%.
That's lower than I expected it to be.
It's lower. That's pretty high considering the rest of the non-legacy applicants. Guess what the...
Two.
Six.
Six. Honestly, the reason why it was six, I figured because 95%. You know what I mean? Like, I just expected Harvard, oh, your grandfather was blah, blah, blah. Come on. Buy us a library.
So I am interested to see where this goes because this has been... I think, you know, to ban one, if this is truly meritocracy, which again, we have not really defined what that actually means, if it's SAT scores, if it's GPA, if it's extracurriculars, if it's work experience, like what should be included and what are universities allowed to have up to their discretion versus the government just going to say, this is what all universities need to be able to do. If you're taking federal money, this is the criteria that needs to be set. But I think if you're saying meritocracy and you say, well, it can't be race, why can't it be money or your parents, like whether or not your parents were there?
I wasn't able to listen to the interview on Friday because I was working, but did you all bring up the topic of gender as part of affirmative action? Because that's one of the questions I have is that if you ban race as a deciding factor, I mean, like either throw it all out, like there's no affirmative action whatsoever. Can you still do it on, like, you know, we want for women or for what, you know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting because already women are overrepresented in universities.
Okay.
And so there's already more women going and graduating from college than there are men. And I don't know if that's because of affirmative action, but
that's relatively recent.
Yeah, that's in like the last 10 years. Yeah. But that's one of the things when the conversations happen around what's happening to men. Of this generation, which that is a valid, I would love to actually have an expert on to talk more about that as far as like, there is a, you know, employment, graduation rates, like all these different markers for men specifically, not like the upper, like highest, most successful men. Cause when we talk about the people at the top, there's still an overrepresentation of men of CEOs and on boards and stuff like that. But as far as like, you know, the bell curve, there's been a dip in all these different outcomes, suicide rates, mental health, all this stuff that's going on with men. And one of the things they talk about is the fact that there's more women going to college. There's more women graduating from college. So like, what's the discrepancy? Yeah. So if anything, I feel like there could be a flip that starts to happen with gender and college admissions of like recruiting more men because it's not a huge imbalance, but I think it's like 55-45. Depending on the school.
You heard it here first, folks. I want to go to Harvard because I'm a man.
Well, speaking of more college news, let's go on to the bad, my opinion. I don't know, multiple other shows have already talked about this, but it's the first time we're getting to talk about it. Speaker Robin Voss says he'll move to end minority scholarship program after Supreme Court ruling. But the real thing is, this is scholarships. This is not full rides.
This is a minimal amount of money.
He wants to end the minority undergraduate retention grant program that ranges from $250 to $2,500.
Yeah, that
Robin Voss, chef's kiss. I didn't think you could get any worse. And I saw the tweets on this, too.
Is this what he was trying to defend himself against?
Well, many things. Like, I mean, he was digging his heels in all weekend and saying, like, we want to end discrimination in this country. We have to start where, like, you know, in the colleges and make sure it's equal for everyone. I'm like, dude, you're not that dumb. I will give Robin Voss one thing. He's smart. He's very smart. To play that dumb doesn't help you because it just makes you look like the lesser version of your party now. Like, be evil. Be that evil genius. That's fine. Be the Dr. Evil of Madison.
Be the Mr. Burns. Yeah. Excellent.
But when you try to play dumb, it doesn't work well because then you're just like, that's not what you think, really. You don't care. Because he doesn't care in the long run because he doesn't have to. He's got his popcorn, his property, and other things I probably shouldn't talk about, but that's not the point. Go on.
So we'll see if this actually... I'm just... Because this is reporting from Journal Sentinel, also from Hope. Hope was busy this weekend. Hope is writing a lot of articles. But, you know, in it, there's quotes from Rick Essenberg, who is the president of Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And they've been on this for a while, as the cases that they were bringing up. He's quoted, Essenberg's quoted, saying there's nothing about the Supreme Court's decision that limits it to higher education. Will believes other state laws and programs with considerations of race are now illegal, including the following: awarding state contracts with preferences to race, grants to improve health outcomes among certain racial groups. Let's just talk about the black maternal mortality rate.
The numbers are terrible.
Dorms and spaces within the University of Wisconsin system intended for certain racial identities, various grants that help minority-owned businesses. So they're going to start going after all of this.
Yep.
And that was always the goal.
Yeah.
Always.
Because let's not look at the outcomes and how terrible the racial disparities are, specifically in our state. Consistently, Milwaukee and Racine are considered the worst place to raise a black child. And in overall, when we talk about incarceration, when we talk about education, when we talk about health outcomes, Wisconsin's not doing great. And so some of these programs are meant to help that. But yeah, let's go ahead and get rid of them. All right, we'll have to talk about the goat.
All right.
But we'll also talk about Greg's Roundup.
Greg's Roundup.
We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
on 540 AM WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed Group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear overnight with lows around 54. Northwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high of 78. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 59. Overcast skies. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Low 80s Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Monday, 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 must be Monday in the rich man's world. Monday, 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 always Sunday in the rich man's world.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we have some Brewers tickets to give away. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow night.
They did indeed blow their 3-1 lead last night. Mike came home from the game very upset.
Oh.
Because he had bet his drunk friend that the Brewers were going to win.
Oh, dear.
And I think he bet them in like the eighth inning or ninth inning or whatever. I didn't watch the game. When they were up. And then the Brewers just let it go.
Yeah.
And then he went to Pottawatomie and lost some money. So he was very agitated when he got home last night.
He was not on a good streak. He should have come home.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Nothing good happens after X o'clock.
I'm telling you.
Depending on which father you're talking to. But yes, we have four tickets for the Cincinnati Reds game tomorrow night at American Family Field. The first pitch is set for 7:10 p.m. How hot is it going to be tomorrow?
It's not going to be too bad. It should be much like today. It should be pretty nice in there.
All right. So good tailgating weather. Unlike yesterday, that was
brutal.
On and off showers. But we're going to give them away, not now, because we're going to play three headlines and a lie. But at the next break, the first caller, Jane, will take your call. So if you would like to get four tickets for the Brewers game for tomorrow night at 7:10 p.m. against the Cincinnati Reds, you will want to give us a call. So get ready like 5 minutes from now. And a reminder that you can always listen to the Brewers on Civic Media's flagship Brewers station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, which you can listen to throughout the Fox Valley. And you can also listen and catch the Brewers on WRCE, News from the Center, in Richland Center.
Our friends at Richland Center.
Our friends. Actually, tomorrow, speaking of friends in Richland Center, Phil Nee is going to be here because it's already Friday. So tomorrow
these three-day weeks, man.
Are already going to have Phil Nee as our crossover Civic Media guest for the best, worst, and weirdest headlines of the week. He's got a short week to choose from.
Yeah, but, that's for sure.
So Phil Nee will be here tomorrow, but also you can catch the Brewers on 107.7 FM and 1450 AM on WRCE News from the Center. So keep your fingers ready if you want those tickets for tomorrow night at 7:10.
They're good tickets.
They are good tickets.
Good
They're
seats.
Very
everybody,
good tickets.
Everybody has said that.
And you get, shorter lines because you're on the club level.
Yeah.
Good view.
Fancy foods.
You're next to the boxes. You can kind of see who's up there and gossip. I don't know. All right. Three headlines and a lie.
Okay.
Let's do it. These are headlines where three of them are real, one is fake, and Jane has to guess which one is the fake one. So, number one, robot conductor gives a history-making orchestral debut.
Okay. I think that's true.
Okay. Number two. Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record.
I know that's true.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay. Number three, fans outrage after Grand Rapids July 4th drone show depicts spoiler for Oppenheimer.
That's also true.
Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos, says FTC.
Oh, now you're throwing me for a curve. Okay, so one of these is a lie.
One is a lie.
Let's go through them again.
Am I saying orchestral?
Orchestral.
Orchestral. I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Orchestral.
Robot, number one. Robot conductor gives a history-making orchestral debut.
Nice.
Number two, Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible. World record. Number three, fans outrage after Grand Rapids' July 4th drone show depicts spoiler for Oppenheimer. Number four, Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos, says FTC.
Okay, the lie is the robot conducting the orchestra.
No, that is real.
Really?
That is real.
Oh, it's not the cookie.
That is also real.
Pencil guy?
That is also real.
Oh, man.
The 4th of July is the lie.
Oh.
What did you read that you thought that you knew that it was true?
I could have sworn I saw something this morning that went past and didn't take time to look to read the whole thing. But yeah, I saw something came up this morning about that.
So there was a lot of drone shows.
There were, which I think are so cool.
They are really cool. You mentioned that yesterday when you were saying the opt out from fireworks into drone shows. And I hadn't seen some of the images of the different cities that did that on July 4th. And they are very cool.
To go to YouTube and just and search, you know, drone shows. Gosh, they had Washington crossing the river. The paddles
are much more animated.
The paddles are moving. You know, you can see it kind of. It's amazing.
I'm interested. Is each drone operated by a person?
There has to be some. Can you imagine?
That is a lot of.
That would be a lot of
synchronization.
People. It's got to be on computer systems.
Or it's just a huge shop creator.
I need 5,000 people for Thursday.
Bring your drones. We need you. We need an army of drones to create the Statue of Liberty.
Because it's got to be hundreds of drones to pull off something like that, right?
Totally. But anyways, so yes, a robot conductor did indeed give a history-making orchestral debut.
All right.
This was in... Standing at 1.8 meters tall, Eve R. 6 Robot led the National Orchestra of Korea in a sold-out performance at the National Theater of Korea in Seoul on Friday, June 30th.
This is going to have a bad end.
Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record.
Everybody's got a hobby.
Yep. And then, indeed, Stonios cannabis cookies look too much like Oreos. Wonder if they have a picture. They do not have a picture on this article, but but yes, there was. You must immediately cease marketing edible Delta 8 THC products that imitate conventional foods using advertising or packaging that is likely to be appealing to young children.
Well, hello, yes,
that is hide your gummies, baby.
Hide your gummies, please.
Because babies will eat those.
Yes.
So yeah, there you go. All right. Well. On that note, if you would like to win some Brewers tickets and go to the game tomorrow night at 7:10 against the Cincinnati Reds, call in now, 844-967-2789. Jane will take your call, get your information. If you have won in the last 30 days, I'm sorry, you do not qualify, but love to get new people in there, love to bring people into the clubhouse or the club level, so give us a call, 844-967-2789. You don't have to answer a trivia question or anything. You just get to win the four tickets.
Lucky you.
Lucky you. All right. When we come back from break, it's public service announcement because it's a short week. So it's already Thursday. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin. All the things I could do.
540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.